In Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, bookish Mary Bennet is the middle child, even though she is a child no more. She is, frankly, growing a bit weary of being the responsible stay-at-home one. Why can't she up and live her own life, too? In this imagined sequel, Miss Bennet Christmas at Pemberley, Mary does just that, stepping out and stepping up. The show at Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany, New York, through December 23rd, is a genteel comedy with sass. It is written by Lauren Gunderson, currently America's most produced playwright, and Margot Melkin. Miss Bennet Christmas at Pemberley is directed by one of our favorites here at the Roundtable, Maggie Mancinelli Cahill. She joins us this morning along with the music director, Josh Smith, and it's a great pleasure to welcome you both to the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
A delight to have you here. So, Maggie, let us begin with you of what brought this show to your to the top of your list.
Well, you know, I've been on this show so much, there's probably very little about me you do not know, Joe. But one of the things that is about me is that I love classic literature. When I was a, you know, when I was a student, I really wanted to be an English major, not a theater person. And life sometimes delivers us a different package, and so I went a different way. But I've always loved classic literature, and Jane Austen is one of my favorites. I will confess to you, I was completely turned on to Jane Austen by Colin Firth. Let's just get to the basics here.
All right.
You know, the best Mr. Darcy of all the PBS versions of Pride and Prejudice. But as a result of that, I read her books and read her books and read her books. And when I found out that there was an imagined sequel to Pride and Prejudice for the theater, I was like, in. So that's why I read it. And when I read it, I just thought, oh, these authors are so clever and so smart. And it's turned out to be an absolutely delightful piece.
Before we get into Jane Austen and all of that brings and the opportunities there are for you and for the company, for the group, let's face it, you're almost obligated by a law, some sort of theatrical law, that you have to do a Christmas show, right? Something holiday-ish.
You have to do, for me, because I do love this time of year, I am not a bah humbug.
Right.
And so for me, I have to do a show with heart. I have to do a show for me that reminds us all that love is still the most important human emotion. And I don't care if that's corny. I really believe it, and I look for shows that deliver that.
But I think you're right. I don't think that's corny at all. I think that's what people look for, because we know that a lot of people like to see those shows this time of year because they want that little nudge to remind them of what is special about what's going on this time of year.
I think that in a world like we have right now, that having a few messages to remind us all that we're in it together.
Yep.
I think that's really, really important. And so when I found a romantic comedy, which is a romantic comedy at the holiday, is something you really look for, that has a Christmas tree in it. Yeah, I was pretty much locked in. You know, it's like, that's it.
Okay, so now the show is not a musical, and yet there is a lot of music within the show. So, and that's where Josh comes into this equation. And you two have worked together for a long time.
Yeah.
We have.
We have. Go ahead, Josh. Tell everything about us that he doesn't know.
So I believe this is the eighth production that I've done at Capitol Rep with Maggie. And we've collaborated mostly on musicals, a couple of plays. But this project in particular was different in the fact that music is a big part of the story. But music does not come with the materials. So in other words, we know that music happens throughout the play in these transitions and throughout the course of the story. Yet it was up to us as collaborators to decide what that music would be, mm-hmm. and how it would be used.
For just to remind everyone, Mary Bennet in Pride and Prejudice plays the piano very badly, but very often. And in fact, that's one of the things that whenever there's a party, Mary always volunteers to play the piano, much to her family's dismay. So in this play, she's had a couple of years to be on her own and become very good pianist. So, of course, we had this music, and of course, our playwrights chose her music for us. And of course, it's all of the really difficult Beethoven pieces yes. that are in the show. So, so Mary Bennett is a character that has to play Beethoven. And then there are a series of these very choreographed scenes that glue the whole play together. That the playwrights have written, and they say, this should be musical. It should be musicalized. Mm-hmm. So that's where we had to figure out, well, what should this music really be? And we decided to have Josh and a violinist play it live on stage. So it's a very integral part of the production. But you were the one who did the research and started showing the music to me.
Yeah, so
really early, like months ago.
Yeah, so I started looking into music in Jane Austen, and I found that her and her family were very much lovers of music and collected volumes and volumes of music that back at that time it was very expensive. So to purchase music, so a lot of these compositions were hand copied mm-hmm. into family volumes. So that gave us a basis of the composers and the people that we knew that she and her family enjoyed mm-hmm. throughout their lifetimes. So, and that ranged everything from parlor songs to classical compositions, concertos, and folk music. All of which
we selected. I mean, I think the music really gives the play its rhythm, and we went through a lot. A lot of no, that's not going to work. You know.
So let me just see if I have this correctly. But you were given there are particular pieces that are directed to you within the confines of the play, but you also had a great deal of freedom with the rest of the music.
Oh my gosh. Only the Beethoven was given to us, and one folk song that Mary Bennett has to sing.
Yep.
And then she makes up words, her own words to it. Otherwise, it's all about, okay, this has to happen in this scene. Please choreograph and pick your own music. And there's
about 22 different 22 pieces of music
pieces
that we use,
and
only six of them were dictated in the script.
Yeah, so it
so the rest is on you.
Yeah. It was a really fun process. I love this kind of stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, because it involves historical research, and you find out, you know, what Jane Austen really listened to, and you go, oh, that's just, you know, that's too Jane Austen-y
for us. Because it has to fit the mood.
You know?
It has to fit the mood of the moment within the play, right?
That's right. It has to serve the play.
Absolutely.
And so it has to have the right tempo. It has to, you know, it has to be festive, and yet some of it has to be a little bit sweet and romantic. And
during a lot of these transitions, very specific things happen that drive the plot forward. And so that music needs to enhance that and reflect what's happening and not play against it.
Is there a trial and error element to that within the rehearsal process where you say, okay, we'll try this, oh, maybe we'll do that, or
no,
maybe this?
No,
okay.
So everything we picked first time was a total winner.
You got it.
Because that's who
Boom.
We are.
This
you
works.
Know?
You
this
know
This is
not.
Like, we knew that was awesome.
Yeah.
But no, unfortunately, yeah, it's trial and error. We also were working with a choreographer because some of these scenes that are done between this scene and this scene had to be choreographed and have a little bit of, you know, that country dance feeling that is usually in one scene in a Jane Austen book. And so we worked with Freddie Ramirez, who is a wonderful choreographer. And he would say, okay, Josh, that's really great. Now, I love the whole piece. Now can you give me 8 measures of that? And so it had to be completely musicalized.
So let's talk a little bit about Mary, because now, so Mary gets a little sassy. Mary gets a little, it says, hey, I mean, not only has she learned to play, but she's like, all right, I'm ready to go.
Well, of course, this play is about the moment that the world opens up to her when she finds her perfect match. She doesn't know that it she's found her perfect match at first, of course, because that is the Jane Austen way. But through a series of events, she realizes that she has found her mate.
Yeah.
And he just so happens to be engaged to someone else. So, you know, it's a very, it's that Jane Austen tangled web of, you know, getting that web untangled so that the right people end up married to the right people in the end. It is a romantic comedy, ends with people getting almost married, at least in this case, engaged. So, yeah.
I would assume that is another way of saying it has a happy ending.
It does have a happy ending. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It's Jane Austen. That was, I think she had several quotes where she said, I write books where people end up happy.
So tell me a little bit about the, obviously you want to do something that you get to play with these characters of Jane Austen, but also you want to do something that is true to Jane Austen. You described your love of the original books and texts. So tell us a little bit about the writing of the play and what we know about Warren Gunderson and as well as Margot Melkin and their work.
Well, what I really like about these two young women is that they evidently wrote this while they were in a car on a road trip. And I went, wow, that's where I do some of my best work, too.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you're in a captive space, and I think they were on a 6-hour road trip. I forget why they ended up in a car together, but they
that's
were.
What happened.
It was for the theater, you know.
You know, Mike and I are our engineer. We were taking a road trip about a year ago, and we wrote a play.
Did you? And yeah. I look forward.
We
look
acted
forward
it
to
out and everything.
That.
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you submit that to NextStack, our new play festival, very soon.
Yeah.
But they're really smart. And they're also, and Lauren Gunderson is really the playwright, the most produced playwright you've never heard of in the United States. Her work is in regional theaters all over. She's been commissioned. She's done a lot of plays for young audiences. And she's really rather brilliant. And I hope someday she gets famous. She is not one of those playwrights yet who's had a New York a Broadway show. And so I think that will happen to her, and we'll see what happens then.
But what is it, and I'm going off a little bit here, but what is it about regional theaters, do you think, that makes her work so accessible to them?
Well, you know, first of all, she has great stories, and they're not musicals. And so they're rather sweet. And she writes really about the human heart. And so regional theaters, we like to do things that, you know, our communities hunger for. And yet you take a play like a Miss Bennett that's a sequel to a literary work, and you kind of have what regional theaters are all about. We really want to do plays that aren't perfect for Broadway, you know, that you can educate young audiences, that you can have the whole family come to it. And that is not necessarily a Broadway show, but that is a regional theater's bailiwick. I mean, that is what we pray for.
Well, it's a beautiful, it just sounds beautiful, and we very much look forward to it. It's Miss Bennett Christmas at Pemberley, running at Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany. It runs through December 23rd. You can learn more by visiting capitalrep.org, capitalrep.org. Maggie Mancinelli Cahill is the director of the show. Music director is Josh Smith. We thank both of you for being here. We hope you have a lovely run and a beautiful holiday season.
Thank you, Joe, and same to you.
Always nice to share with you. Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more by going to capitalrep.org. Miss Bennett, Christmas at Pemberley, running through December 23rd. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.